All right, well, we are thankful for 25 years, and I'm just glad that you're all here with us today. And here's where I'm just going to go. I just put everything down where I wouldn't keep you for 3 or 4 hours, or you walking out on me. And I didn't want to be scattered and go on all kind of bunny trails. Lord knows I could do that. But as most of you know, my sister and brother-in-law and I and our girls lived on the road after my husband and daughter went to be with the Lord. We went on the road the following year for 10 years full time. We stayed out there, and that's a whole other story for another day. But we knew when it was time to come home, and they went to Bakersfield to become youth pastors and music minister. And I felt in my heart that I would pastor a church. And yet there were no people. And as the song says, there were no buildings, there was no land, there was nothing. And I was a widow at, I think I was about 42 when we started the church. And so I had no pattern. I had no advisor. There was no organization behind me. And we were raised in an organization, so I knew the power of organization. And we couldn't do anything without the organization. You know, there were fathers and mothers in the faith, and there were bishops and superintendents and presbyters and always people to lead. And if there was any problem, they were there to help. But there was no organization behind me, and I wasn't man-called. I didn't have an inheritance of pastors, you know, that in the family that came down through me. There were no pastors on my mother's side or my daddy's side. And so I certainly wasn't called by man to do this. And I had no outside money at all. And so it wasn't something that I just dwelled on and dwelled on. I just knew that I would do that. So when Laney and Doyle goes to Bakersfield and took their jobs there at that church, well, I stayed on the road, just flying in and out, finishing up some of the meetings we had. We never did leave the United States. We stayed in the United States. We crisscrossed the United States over and over and over, sometimes gone 4 months at a time. And Lord knows, when we came home and I had 3 services a week to do later on, I felt like I was on vacation, that I wasn't preaching 5 times a week and sometimes 2 services a day when we had a women's conference or something going on. But anyway, one day I had been local. And I had been down to L.A. to minister on weekend, and I came back. I was on my way to Bank of the Sierra here on Olive Street. And I remember driving down West Olive, going toward the bank. And as I passed the Veterans Memorial Building, again, I had not been looking for anything. Didn't know when, didn't know how. It was just something that I knew in my heart for a few years now. And all of a sudden, I'm driving in my car past that Veterans Memorial Building. When we left California to go to the East Coast, we worked all the way through. And when we left, they were working on the building. They were building it. Hadn't been built yet. And now it was complete. And it was open. So I'm driving past, and I heard the Lord say, just go in and see. And I knew what it meant. I knew what that meant. And so I said, I'll go on to the bank. I need to get this to the bank, and I'll come back and go. Went to the bank, and I came back, went in, and long story short, the lady rented me the building for $800 a month with utilities included. Brand new building, beautiful bathrooms. It was just perfect. And so she asked me how many meetings we wanted. We said 3. And she said, well, you got to put everything up back and, you know, leave it like you found it. I said, oh, we can do that. And there was no we. There was only me and my 16-year-old. That was it. My mama didn't know it. My brother didn't know it. Nobody knew we were starting a church. No one. And so the lady says to me, and those of you that are with me, you know, I'm pretty spontaneous. And so the Lord and me work good together on that. And so she says, when do you want to start this church? And I said, in 2 weeks. And she said, okay, that'll work. So anyway, we went ahead, and I started it in 2 weeks. Just like that, from nothing, no people, no money, nothing. No pattern. He said, don't you copy anyone, though I'd been all over. I saw how good churches worked. I saw how bad churches worked. I saw good pastors and bad pastors. I saw pastors who were just like a Barbie and Ken. They copied everything everybody else did. And I watched what they let go on in the church because they didn't want to make anybody mad. And then it was all kinds of things I saw. But he said, don't take a pattern of the way they built the church. I will go before you. So I had a word from God, and I had a vision. And so I was, we were traveling on our bus from, somewhere in Missouri or Tennessee, somewhere down over to South Carolina. And, we were local. We were local somewhere. I think we were in Oregon because we could go to Oregon just over a weekend. We were coming back, and Lainey and Doyle said to me, when are we going to go full-time in ministry? We cannot continue like this. My brother-in-law had had pneumonia 3 times. They were holding jobs, and they were going out working on weekends. She said, we can't continue. And so finally I prayed. I went to them, and I said, will you tell them that we will go on the road in April. I may be wrong on my months, but just tell your boss that that you're going to quit. So I had some time out there, and all of a sudden, I woke up in the middle of the night, and the Lord said this, say not 4 months and then the harvest. So I saw that the word, say not 4 months. Well, I counted up the time that I told him, and it was exactly 4 months. I said, you could quit your job in 4 months. And he said, don't you say 4 months. So I told them, I called them on the phone. I said, the Lord said, don't say 4 months. He said, just do it now. Give them your 2-week notice. And so they did. And our calendar began to fill up. It was just an amazing thing the way that worked. And then I heard the Lord say, build me a barn to hold the souls of man. And we hadn't even gotten to first base yet. We hadn't even gotten that building yet. Build me a barn to hold the souls of man. So I knew we would build a barn-like structure and make sure it has easy access off of the highways that lead into Porterville. Well, we're there. I told you Wednesday night, I think, you can just pull off of 65 and go west and you're here. You can go off of 99, go east and you're here, or 190 and come in. You know, we can get here. So he said, I'm going to send you a widow home to sustain them. And so here I came with my 16-year-old daughter, and we built the church. Am I missing something here? Let's see. I wanted to tell you. So all I had, I went and bought this podium. I bought this with my own money, and I had my own sound equipment because we were on the road with it. So I had I bought my own pulpit. I had my own sound system. And put an ad in the paper. And that's all we had. Still no people. No anything. But now we got the building and we're starting in 2 weeks. And so it was just a beautiful thing. And I've always liked to say, I told Sarah, I said, well, honey, I have a PhD. She said, Mom, you never told me you had a PhD. I said, yeah, a Pentecostal hairdo. And so I always had that going for me, you know. Not as big as it used to be, but anyway. So Pete, you just tell him your pastor has a PhD, and don't worry about it, because that's really what it stands for. So with that drive-by that God did with me on Olive Street, listen, folks, this is so important. I wonder what would have happened. Do you understand that if I had ignored him saying, go inside and see, had I ignored that, there wouldn't be a church here today? We wouldn't be a family. We wouldn't even be here. But here we are. And there's been a whole lot of people come and go over the years. So that was the end. Listen, I went in there to ask them about that building. That was the end of July, 1996. And in just 2 weeks, we were in. I went ahead and rented it. We started the church on August 11th, 1996. We had church three times a week, and we did that for 3.5 years. And then we opened this new church in town, Landmark Christian Center. And I've often wondered what the people thought to just see this woman and this little girl that were going to start a church. But they still came, and we opened with 51 people. So 3 years later, we purchased this land, which is 6.5 acres, with nothing on it. It had no electricity, no water, no sewer, nothing on this land. And across from the building down there were 4 acres of plums. And this man tried to sell me that 4 acres of plums. And then we would have had to take the plums off. But I had a plot plan of the way the land looked. I could have showed that to you this morning. Maybe I'll show it to you next week. I drew a little plan, and I had the picture of the first phase, second phase, third phase, and the buildings behind us. Everything is on the plot plan exactly as I drew it long before we got here. It's all there. And so, 3 years, anyway, I go there. I think I am going to read this to you. Kathy, can you put these, Kathy's the best typist ever. Okay, can you put this up there? Can you type this? $30,000 a year for 12 years. Can you write that down? $30,000 a year for 12 years. This came from the Lord, and the Lord told me what to offer that man that had the plums. Okay, I forget what he was asking. But it was exactly what we bought this 6.5 acres for. So the Lord said this: you offer him $30,000 a year, ask him to subordinate, and I didn't even know what that word meant. I went and looked it up, and it meant that we could build before we had the property paid off. So ask him to subordinate, tell him you'll pay them $30,000 a year for 12 years, and ask them, tell them you want no interest. And I was so embarrassed to ask this man for no interest. But since it was God, there was no embarrassment, because he has a plan that's like, it's going to be the best. So I called the man up, and he said, young lady, he says, I don't know what to say to you. He says, I'm going to take this to my kids and ask them about it. And he took them, and he said, well, they're all for, they'll subordinate. But he said, the 12 years, I'm getting old. And they said, they don't want you to pay it off in 12 years. They want it paid off now. And my attorney said, they can't even sell it. I couldn't do that with no interest. And I said, okay, well, that's fine. Not a problem. I wasn't discouraged. I went on. Well, Leonard Taylor called me from Sherwood Homes, where I used to work, and they owned this land. And he said, you know that piece of land we've had for those 20 years? He said, I believe the Lord's telling me to sell you that land. I'll take the same amount he wants for those plums, and I'll sell you this almost 7 acres down there. This was the most sought-after piece of land in Porterville on this corner. Used to have an old log cabin here. Remember the old log cabin, some of you old-timers? And the kids and the woman who owned it, the owner of the bar, died. And so the kids told Leonard Taylor said, no, we're not going to sell you this bar when it was here. He wanted to buy this land. No, we're not going to sell it to you because it's a landmark in town. This old log cabin bar is a landmark. So we can't sell it to you. And so there was this widow woman. Her husband died. So here was this widow woman serving them old wine at that old bar that was a landmark in town. And so finally, long story short, Leonard was able to talk them into buying it. He bought the land, and they brought a bulldozer and just pushed that old log cabin over on it. So Leonard came to our first anniversary, and he's the one that told us that story. And he said, and now we've got a younger widow serving new wine at a Landmark Christian Center, not a bar center anymore. Well, anyway, when the builder came, we purchased the land, had nothing on it, and 1 year later, everything was on the land, and we built this building that you see. We got a lot of extras. You saw it was a metal building. But we ran right on to the best builder. He lived in Bakersfield, and he built, listen to this, he built churches and barns. Who builds churches and barns? And how do you find such a man? We got 3 bids, and we hired him, and he was on schedule, and he was on budget. totally on budget and on schedule. We were not late not one day. And so had the church built turnkey in 6 months. And the builder said to me, Pastor Paulette, I can't even explain this. He says, my brothers and all these subcontractors, I can't even hardly take the credit for this. This went up so fast. And he said, everything with the city was just like this. They would just stamp it and approve it. And I've never seen anything like it. And I said, well, brother, I sure can't explain it because it didn't have anything to do with me. I didn't know what to do about it. And I'll say this, church, you know, not playing a victim. I mean, I'm happy with what we have. But we didn't have any outside money. None. We came in with those 51 people, and I started teaching tithing and giving. And from the first day, we put our money together, whether it was a lot or a little. And that's how we paid our bills. Well, over time, the Lord sent us some business people. And one time we had 10 people that owned great businesses. And they began to tithe on their business. And they blessed. See, sometimes people come for a season. And they came, and I'm going to tell you, they helped us. And they built, they helped us to buy the land. That first couple of years, we went way over $1 million. In the second year we were here, we had 485 people on Easter, and we ran right there from 450. We never did quite get 500, but it just began to build and build and build. And God just blessed us, and we were able to buy the land, build the church, and it was just such a blessing. We put our money together then, and that's what we still do around here. And Dr. Cho, who just passed away last month, had the largest church in Korea. His word taught me probably more than anything else I could have learned over the years. In one of his sermons, he taught us to pray and obey. He would say that in his Japanese accent, pray and obey. And that's what I always did. I prayed and obeyed. The year before my husband and daughter died, two years, I spent every single day when I would get him off to work, the girls off to school, I would spend walking off into the canyons there up at Success Valley where we lived. I'd walk out to those hills, get under an old oak tree down by one of the little man-made lakes there, and I would get there and just pray. And I would pray until almost time for the girls to come home. And I believe that's what held me strong when their deaths came and when it was time to start the church and I had learned to hear God's voice. I had learned to walk with Him, and it was the simplest of things. It wasn't hard to hear His voice. He didn't speak like, thus saith the Lord. Sometimes it was just things that you know. Just like, go see if they'll rent that. Just go in and see. You know, just the little things. And so you obey. Folks, here, there's not one of us that don't hear the voice of the Lord. But the problem is acting on it. Once you hear Him instruct you, just do that. Just do that. And you'll be amazed the things that happen in your life. So here was my instruction. He said, don't you dare be hindered. Do not be distracted, because I can do that. Don't get distracted. And do not allow a Jezebel to come here and change my order. And I knew that was saith the Lord. Don't you allow that. And I did have some that would come in and try to change the order. And I learned more about God's order when we were building the church. Because one of the things that the builder said to me, he said, now you watch, Brother Roman, you and Brother Niles will understand this, and you builders. He said, now, Pastor, you watch those change orders. He said, there's going to be people that will come, maybe certain people that maybe board members will come and say, we need to change this, we need to change this. He said, I have change orders. I can only have change orders coming from one person. That has to be you. So let them talk to you, and then let's talk about it. But we can't, if you have a whole bunch of change orders, then it's going to go over the amount that you owe. It'll go past your budget, and it will go past the schedule of completion. So we said, I'm willing to do certain things, but make sure I know what the change orders are. So, you know what? That just worked perfect for us. And you know what? We never had one schism. We didn't have any warfare. You know, there was times maybe we'd have a board meeting and one brother would rise up and the builder would leave and he'd get a red face and say, oh, I got a red flag on that. I said, you do? He said, yeah. And I just go, hey, Bob, he says he's got a red flag on that. Tell him what that means. No, don't put up with that baloney. Amen? All right, thank you. He'd say, I got a red flag. Well, let's find out what that red... Why didn't you say you had a red flag when he was here? No, I got to call him on the phone. He's on his way to Bakersfield. Said, don't do that. Don't be hindered. Don't be distracted. Don't let a Jezebel come in. Every now and then I'd have someone come in. Say, Pastor, the Lord sent me here to be your assistant pastor. And I'm like, well, you know, I don't need one because we only got 50 people. We got 75 people. I don't really need an assistant. Yeah, but the Lord said. I said, well, he should have told me first because we're not doing that. Okay, and then I knew what order to do. We all used to go down to, what was that Mexican restaurant called in Porterville? Carmen's. Every Sunday we went to Carmen's and got the big room in there and have lunch together. And it was only our second or third week. Now we're growing by tens. First week, 50, and then 60, and then 70, and then it was just fast. And so we're sitting there about the second or third week, and one of the guys in there that was a builder, he slipped me a note on the way out. Put this note in my hand, and the note said, Pastor, you need to set a board. You need to set a board up in the church. So I got in the car, I looked at that, I said, Lord, that is not what you said. You told me not to do that for 9 months. You told me to carry this church for 9 months, and then you'd set it in order. I said, what do you want me to do with that? And I heard it as plain as day, tear it up, throw it away. I said, okay. And he says, you call him and tell him you're not setting up the board. Tell him what you're going to do. Well, I did better than that. We went to dinner. And I said, now, brother, look, I appreciate your order. We are going to do that, but we're just not going to do that right now. He said, well, what are you going to do? We kind of set up something. I said, yeah, we're going to start with the nursery. Nursery? Yeah, because if you don't take care of the babies from these young couples, they're not going to come. Well, then what? You're going to set them up? Then I said, no, we're going to set up children's ministry. What next? I said, men. How about the women? I said, women, listen, women take care of themselves. We're going to get these men, okay? So anyway, this is the things that, you know, if you're not careful, everybody else will be telling you what to do. And anything with two heads is a freak. So you know that. You've got your own businesses. You've got your own way of things. And so I just wouldn't allow some of those things to happen. He said, don't be hindered, don't be distracted, and don't let a Jezebel change my order. By the way, Jesus paid the price for the church. And I believe my husband and daughter are in heaven as an offering, a part of this church. I'm telling you, this church would not be here if that had not happened. I'm pretty sure. Well, all I know, church, is Jesus has always provided for this vision. Always made provision. Always for this vision. No, we didn't have a lot of outside monies. Listen, we weren't given land. In fact, we really weren't given anything. We were given a party boat. What do you call it? A party barge. Brand new. It would seat 18 people. Boy, it was so nice. We parked it at the lake. And this guy says, you can use that for your ministry. That's about the only thing we were given. And it was a great gift. And so our ministries used it a little bit. I think Praise Team used it a couple times. The youth used it a couple times. But it wasn't used that much, to our surprise. And so the builder said, what are you going to do with that barge? He said, I know you don't want to spend anymore, but if you will give me that barge, I'll trade you. And I said, trade us for what? He said, well, you want something pretty. I mean, under this screen, you know how that curves around? He says, well, I will give you, it's called a soffit. He said, I'll make you a pretty soffit. and I'll cause it to match the one out front. When you walk in, you see another soffit that's really pretty above the information desk. And he said, and these iron pillars that come down on the side, I will cover them, and I will put that little, see that little trim on top? He said, I will cover those like that. And so anyway, this is what he traded us for the barge. And so we got some good trades. But that's basically, I said that to say, that's what was given to us. And I've talked to other pastors who were given, Wayne Neal in Missouri was given 20 acres. Others have been given, you know, a lot of things. And we weren't. But the thing is God made provision for us. So what's the difference? Whether he provides it or they give it. It doesn't matter to me. All I know is God did it for us. Just like he does it for you at home. Just like he does it in your marriage. He just makes provision for us. So, you know, I was thinking last night. I thought, well, what did I preach in those days? You know, what was it? Of course, I've been on the road now preaching for 10 full years. But I remember, you know, Rick and Jamie had passed. And mainly, I had great strength. I had such great strength of mind and just a peace that passed understanding. And I always tried to give that away to the people. I was always trying to build everybody up. I wanted everyone in this house to have great hope. I want you to have faith, and I want you to have hope to say, we can get through anything. And you learn to get through anything. And the people came and went. And I remember thinking, I just want to send out more pastors, preachers, teachers, and missionaries from this church. And so we had certain ministries come here. Helen and Tim moved here. And they weren't so busy in their ministry. And they came here. And Helen will tell you. In fact, I should have called her and got her on a little video today. We'll do that later. We'll have her later. But she'll tell you that their ministry took off when they came here and had our covering. Nancy and Dave McDaniels, the same thing. I mean, they're just so busy now, they're global. Tony Henley, he's a preacher in his own cause. He's a chaplain, but he'll probably, I don't know, have his own church or evangelism. And Laney and Doyle are pastoring. So we had Brandy McNutt is pastoring. Our youth pastors are pastoring. And so a lot of good things came out of here. I taught faith and strength and hope and always the glory of God. You know that. It's all about the glory of God even now. It's always about his presence and Landmark. You know what? We may not have all the programs. And yet at one time, probably 12 years ago, we had over 60 ministries. 60. And we had leaders for each small group. And it was amazing. We had everything from a golfing ministry to a sewing ministry. And you name it. And it was just fun. We had a lot of things, and besides all that, it was always the glory of God. It's still about the glory of God. It's still about his word, church. I never preach without the word, ever. I'll never be guilty of leading without the word of God. And prayer. I came in here to pray Friday, and those doors were open, and I looked across the street. And Brother Phil, there was that little old white shack over there across at the car wash with those red and blue stripes down. And somebody painted it red and blue and white. And that's where I prayed after Rick and Jamie passed. When Sarah would go to school, I put her in school for 1 year and then she homeschooled the rest of the time. But I could sit here and look at that little prayer chapel, and that's where I prayed for 1 year all by myself. Every day for 6 hours a day with just a bottle of water. I stayed there praying for I don't know what. I think later on, as time went by, I began to pray for land and pray for a church. But before that, I just wanted to draw closer to the Lord, just closer, closer to the Lord. So I was looking at that building, and someday I pray, maybe they'll sell it to us, and we can get that little building over here. And then the people who were with me, we all went in, and we began to pray. It was so hot in the summer, and it was freezing in the winter. And you'd get about 40 people in there, and we only had about 25 people here to pray Wednesday night, which I wish more of you would come to pray on Wednesday night. I'll just leave that. But I encourage for 30 minutes and then we pray. So you're out of here on these Wednesday nights now, 6:30 to 7:30. But then, man, we'd pray till 8 o'clock. And, but that's where this property was bought. This is where this church was built. That is where ministries came from. That's where the strength came in the people. We married and buried and baptized and dedicated babies. And now I'm dedicating babies, you know. And then I was always in your business. Well, maybe not yours, but the people that was here. Then I'd follow them home. I'd just get all up in their business that they was acting up and they were living together. We'd marry them on Wednesday night. I'd tell them on Monday, go get your marriage license now. We're going to have a wedding Wednesday night. Well, I don't know if I want to marry him. Then move out, baby. Don't live with him if you don't know if you want to marry him. So I remember preaching on the Ten Commandments. We got to the part, thou shalt not commit adultery. I told him what that meant. And so, you know, then we would have to have, we'd have to have our wedding. So as we went on, and I'm almost done, this is sure. We depended, and again, I'm not bragging, you all know this. This is really, I started saying nothing to brag about, but it could be a hard thing, but I never have to sing the blues about this. This is one of the easiest things that I ever did. And I remember Pastor Kenny Noel telling me, Paulette, you better not try to build that church by yourself. You have no husband. Girl, this thing will kill you. It will eat you up. I said, brother, look, I got the plans right here. I've already got them. If I was you, I wouldn't do it. You just don't know, girl. About gave me a heart attack. And I don't know why. I mean, it just, and I had no man advising me, and we just didn't depend on anyone. We finally got our board at 9 months, just like the Lord said. We set up a good board, and by the way, the man that mentioned it, he was on the board. He was a precious man. We all kept it together, but we depended on no man, and pretty soon they learned that this would be the house that God built. This wasn't the song said, this is the house that love built, but it was my love for Jesus that built this house. I built it for him. I knew the people would come, but I wanted him to have a place for another group of people to come and worship. We had other churches in town, but he saw something that I had to offer, and we would have to offer, and our praise team would offer, and people would want to come. Not everybody wants what Landmark has. But some do. That's why you need to be careful when you're with people to invite them to come. And that song just simply says this in one part of it. It says, this church began without buildings and land, but it lives in our hearts and forever it will stand. Amen? This is the house that love built, the place that love fills, the home where love will keep us together forever. And the light will lead us, and the faith will free us. Our hope is only in Jesus, and he will bind us together with love. Oh, sweet love, and he's done that. This is the first church that was built without organization. First church in our town that was built from the ground up without an organization, the first church to have a float in the parade, and we won grand champion every year by the help of Paul Sherrod. No other church had ever had a float in the parade. We were the first children's church to ever go to the fair and put on a huge production of puppets and everything, and the fair invited us in and was so blessed. We did that for years, and so we challenged others. Pretty soon, every church has a float in the parade. When they all got started, then we bailed out, said, y'all go ahead. Whenever we started at the fair, others started the fair, so we got it started, we let them go, and then we did something else. And our membership from the very beginning, pastors told me, you better get cards and you better have people sign that membership card. You know what, Brother Danny, I said, listen, I remember people signing that membership card in our organization, and all that card did was cause them to lie. They promised, I won't do this, and I won't do that, and I won't do this, and I'm not going to go there, and I won't, and I won't. And if I ever leave, I'll let you know. So anyway, I said, Lord, what are we going to do? I don't want that kind of membership. I don't know. People are people. And there's those that will do the best they can do, and there's going to be others. And if they come once a month, well, maybe we'll get them on that one time. Maybe you'll get their heart. So my thing was, here's what the Lord gave me. He said, keep it just like heaven. Keep it just like me. Keep my order. What's your order, Lord? Whosoever will may come. So you just keep it like that. And when people ask you what you got to do to join Landmark, you tell them, whosoever will may come. You just come. Doesn't matter who you are, how you're living, just come. We're not going to put you down or anything. So we just always followed him. We've listened, and I'm closing. I know we got to go. But we've had no fighting. We've had no bickering, gossip. But those who tried to do that, we asked them to leave. Oh, y'all are all quiet. You're scaring me. You know, Bert Clendenin, a great Church of God pastor, has churches now in Russia. He taught me this, a successful pastor in Texas. I said, Pastor, what do you contribute the success of your Pentecostal church to down in Texas? And he said, who I allow to stay? He had 4,000 people. And so not everybody's been able to stay. Not a lot, but I've asked them to leave. If they want to start fighting, having a fight, you know, one time married couples hard to having a fight right here. I said, oh, no, no, no. I said, Usher, get back there. Tell them to take it out in the parking lot and then get in the car and go fight at home. But not here. Not going to do it here. And so if people start gossiping, you say, I always taught them in those days, haven't said it in a long time, if they were gossiping, can I quote you? Because when you ask if you could quote them, then they'd back off. So we've been through some uncommon hardships, church. I know that. I went through my own hardships. Man, uncommon hardships cause uncommon anointing and blessing. We've just come through some unusual birth pangs that were, they're very, very hard for us. But we're going to experience greater glory. I'm telling you, unusual glory. And we were never distracted. And I promise you, we will not start now. I know everybody's got an opinion, and you're all welcome to your opinion. Everybody is. But we're not going to get distracted now. We haven't. It's all still going to be about Jesus. It's still going to be about the glory and whatever he wants. So his words, you saw them on the pictures. The words are declared on the steps, in the floor, on every building we got, the steps are declared. Let me read the scripture. We're closing right here. Isaiah 62:10. Look at this. Here's what I got before we started the church, my first scripture for this. Go through. Go through the gates. By the way, we're the west gate coming into Porterville. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up the banner for the peoples. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his people before him. And they shall call them a holy people, the redeemed of the Lord. Listen to this part, church. And you shall be sought out, a city not forsaken. I know we'll be sought out. People will find us from all over the world, and we will send people all over the world. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to tell you guys, I love you. And Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. He came to seek and save that which is lost, and we're after him. Lendl. Thank you guys for being faithful, and thank you for believing in Landmark. I appreciate you coming here so much. Appreciate you being with us and all the new people, Marina and Bruce and Danny and Lori and Brother Ken, what a blessing you are. Tio and Adam, these are brand new people, like right now people. And my precious couple back there, the care provider brings this precious man, Niles and
Tanya,
I knew that. God bless you all. I love you so much.
Most of you realize that our church wouldn't be here without Pastor Paulette. So we thank you, Pastor. When Debbie and I first came to Landmark, we were blown away by how nice, how sweet the people were. And I'll admit it, I told Debbie, I said, well, they won't keep it up. We'll see their true side, because I'd worked with too many church people. Uh-huh. But what I didn't realize is in the 2 and 3 years before we came, Pastor had set a standard of loving each other, of taking care of each other, and just setting up shop and setting, well, this is how we do it at Landmark. And I'm still amazed because you're still sweet, you're still kind, even at 25 years later. I told Pastor, and Debbie and I have talked about, it amazes me that we came through COVID, and financially, we're still here. Now, there's people who haven't got back into church, but thank God there is still a church here that we can worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and continue to praise Him on Sundays, and we're going to be better than ever before. I believe that. Debbie had something she wanted to share real quick because we wanted to dismiss and get you out to lunch.
Pastor, do you remember when the church was being built, we came in and rewrote scriptures on all the boards here? So we're literally standing and sitting on scripture
all over
the church. And I was sitting there and I really was thinking about what to say, and I love acronyms. And I thought of this just while you were speaking. 25 years, so years, Y-E-A-R-S. Years, pastor's always yearning for the presence of God from day one till now. It's never changed. E, ever praying for revival.
Wow.
Started at the beginning, has never changed.
Amen.
A, always holding up a standard, God's word at Landmark. Still the same. R, revival, revival, revival.
Yeah.
It started and it's never changed. S, started this church on the word of the living God, and we're standing on it. And like God told Peter, on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not overcome it.
Woo.
COVID can't break it down. People coming and going and leaving and whatever will not
come
against Landmark Christian Center.
Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.
I want a copy of that, Debbie. Awesome.
Amen.
Wonderful Jesus, we thank you for this beautiful day. Lord, we thank you for the food that we're about to receive. We thank you for El Tapatio, such precious people to us. And Lord, we bless Laura and Clara and all the girls who are serving the food to us. Now, Lord, help us be orderly and blessed and enjoy the food. And we thank you for the cake. And I thank you for these precious Landmark people that you have sent to Landmark to make a mark on our land. In Jesus' name, amen.